This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Silver Charm goes for gold. It's Silver Charm from Lucivage from France on the far side. Barron's back in third. Malak is in fourth. And it's Lucivage on the far side. He's beaten at the moment. It's Lucivage. Silver Charm. Malak in third. On the outside, it's Swain. But it's Lucivage. But Silver Charm comes again. This is incredible. Swain is flying. Swain might beat the favorite. What a finishing prospect. Silver Charm and Swain. It's a photo. It's a great photo finish to the Dubai World Cup. Who's won it? Silver Charm or Swain on the outside? A truly sensational finish to the 1998 Dubai World Cup.
Now here's Bobby Newman and Bob Nastanovich.
Good evening. Welcome to another edition of the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm Bobby Newman along with Bob Nastanovich. We've got a dozen races not only from around the country to talk about this weekend, but Bob, the second largest race purse-wise in thoroughbred racing worldwide takes place tomorrow out at Maidan in Dubai. It, of course, is the Dubai World Cup.
Yeah, it should be a fantastic race. Really nice field. They have to be pleased with who turned up. Some new shooters there in terms of racing in the Middle East. Newgate will try to parlay that victory in the big cap under Frankie Dettori for Bob Baffert, who, of course, won not only that Dubai World Cup, but several others. Back then, of course, it was held at Nad El Sheba, and, of course, for the last several years, it's been held at the ultra-modern Maidan Racecourse, and it's a wonderful card.
Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. AmWager is a wagering platform that's loaded with valuable tools and features, including odds charts, odds predictions, and much more. You'll also get free access to Form to Win. It's a revolutionary app that analyzes past performance data in just minutes. So go to link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, Bob, well, let's kick it off with this 2024 edition of the Dubai World Cup. It goes as the final race tomorrow in Dubai, and race number 9 on the card. It is 12:35 p.m. Eastern time here in the States. Big field of 12 going the classic distance of a mile and a quarter, highlighted by the horse who is trying to win for the second straight year, Ushba Tesoro.
Yeah, he ran a marvelous race in this last year when he won pretty easily from Algiers. I think it's a tougher field this year, but obviously he's a proven commodity on the racetrack. He ran a marvelous race when just beaten by Senor Buscador. They both came from well off the pace in Saudi Arabia on February 24th. Both of them return. It's kind of interesting, with horses like Newgate in there. Laurel River's kind of an interesting entrant as well. Croupy's in there from the Todd Pletcher barn. He's a big time long shot. Generally over the years, comparing the two race courses, speed seems to be more beneficial at Maidan than in Saudi Arabia. And as far as I can tell, that really plays into the hands of a horse that we've become very familiar with. And that's Derma Sotogake, who, of course, arguably ran the best race of his career when he won the UAE Derby last year on March 25th on the undercard for this race. He came to Kentucky, ran sixth behind Mage, wasn't bad. Didn't appear again until a marvelous effort at Santa Anita when he finished second to White Abario. And then ran decently last time behind Senor Buscador and Ushba Tesoro. I just think the pace scenario and everything about this race favors a big effort from him under his now regular rider, Christophe Lemaire. And I think that the son of Minder Biscuits has a big shot to win He's kind of interesting that he's been bet down to a 10-3 over in the UK right now, and the markets there. He's been popular in the wagering, but I think anything close to 3-1, 4-1 is pretty decent value on Derma Sotagake.
Okay, I'm going to go with the defending champ, Ushba Tesoro. I don't know why I've fallen in love with this horse. Maybe it's not love, fallen in like with this horse, because I picked him in the Breeders' Cup Classic, didn't work out very well. And then I picked him again in the Saudi Cup, and although I cashed, it could have been a grand slam if not for the late run of Senor Buscador nipping him on the line. I know he likes the track, and even though he's a deep closer, it didn't seem to bother him last year in the Dubai World Cup. A horse that neither of us are talking about but is low on the morning line is Kabir Khan, who's won a couple of races in Kazakhstan, right, leading up into this race. What do you make of his chances?
Yeah, no, again, like, I'm befuddled. It's, you know, sort of new to me. But he's, you know, he's run two very big races over this racetrack, including a huge effort on January 26th in the Al Maktoum Challenge, which is sort of, you know, the local prep for this race. You know, obviously we're familiar with the pedigrees by California Chrome out of a good Castledale mare called Little Emily. Interesting set of circumstances, and he's very popular in the wagering right now. He's 9-2 in live betting in England.
Okay, so you have the live betting there. You mentioned 10-3 on Derma Sotagake and 9-2 on this. What's Ushba Tesoro? What is Senor Buscador at this point?
Yeah, Ushba Tesoro is 10-3. Senor Buscador is 9-1, as is Newgate. Laurel River is 14-1. That's the son of Into Mischief out of the Empire Maker mare Calm Water. Cabercan is 9-2, and Derma Sotagake is 10-3. Everything else is pretty much a long shot.
All right, so the two Japanese runners vying for favoritism on the UK market right now, Derma Sotagake and Ushba Tesoro. Big card at Gulfstream Park stateside tomorrow, highlighted by the Grade 1 Florida Derby, but a whole host of undercard stakes as well. Let's look at a few of those, Bob, starting with Race 6. It is the Grade 2 Pan American for the four-year-olds and up, going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a field of eight gathering in this race. You've got a new shooter coming in from France in Cortez for Christophe Clément. Slight favorite on the morning line is Tawny Port, who was second to Starting Over when they last saw each other in the McDermott.
Yeah, Chris Clément went over to Arcana last year in the big late in the year. I think it's a November sale in Arcana. It's a mixed sale, and there's a lot of really nice horses of racing age in there. And he picked up a couple that are racing for the first time in the U.S. on this Gulfstream undercard. And one of them, of course, is Cortez, who they paid 150,000 euros for. He's a six-year-old. He's a decent horse. He's been Group 2 and Group 3 placed in his native France. The son of Intello, Joel Rosario, takes the mount. I think he's kind of interesting in here, but I'm concerned, you know, in the class of his races over there. I mean, he certainly should enjoy the mile-and-a-half distance. Starting Over, who's in excellent forms in here for Mike Maker. Edgar Zayas rides the horse back after winning the McDermott last time. Over Tawny Port, who reopposes here by a neck last time. Ran a good race behind before that under Oisin Murphy in the McKnight, which he was beaten two lengths. So he's in great form, loves the turf course. I think he's going to be pretty tough, but I'm going to give the nod to Tawny Port. Tawny Port should be on or near the lead. He's a versatile horse. He's won over a mile and 5/8 at Saratoga in the Johns Call, so distance should be no problem. Christophe Clément taps Irad Ortiz to ride him, who hasn't ridden him in a long time. And kind of interestingly, when Irad rode him before, he was riding him on the dirt in races like the Jim Dandy, in which he was third behind Epicenter. Then he ran no sort of race in the Pennsylvania Derby. But he's just done better as a turf horse. He seems to be really coming around as a turf horse. Kind of interesting, is a versatile pedigree being by Pioneer of the Nile. Another interesting thing is that, you know, obviously two of the biggest names in the sport in terms of win percentage are Clément and Irad Ortiz. And Irad Ortiz is 0-6 in the last 60 days riding for Clément. You'd certainly expect better, but I'm not going to make too much of that. He's been right there recently, and I think tomorrow is his day. I think Irad will get the job done on Tawny Port.
All right, I can certainly see him winning. I'm going to pick the horse who beat him last time starting over. I don't understand why he would be third choice on the morning line in this race. He's a horse that obviously likes the distance. He obviously runs well at Gulfstream Park, and he's in good form right now. I think he'll get some pace to run at, look for starting over to have the best say last, and maybe enough to get the job done in this year's edition of the Grade 2 Pan American. Seventh race on the card is the Grade 3 Ghost Sapper for four-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th on the main track. By the way, supposed to be beautiful weather in South Florida tomorrow. We've got a field of eight gathering for the Ghost Sapper, Bob, including a couple horses that seem to run against each other every time they go to the races, Steel Sunshine and Tumbarumba.
Yeah, I mean, the simple approach to this race is to look at it in that manner as a rematch behind between these two very good in-form horses. The five-year-old Steel Sunshine, who's a very nice son of Constitution out of an unbridled song mare, and Tumbarumba, of course, is Louisiana bred by Oscar Performance. Really the second-best Louisiana-bred in training. But that's sort of saying a lot these days, because basically it's between he and Touch Upon a Star, who perform very well in open company. Tumbarumba and Steel Sunshine have developed a delightful rivalry in recent months. And that last race in the Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Mile was a really dramatic race in which Steel Sunshine just got the nod. It was a great ride by Paco Lopez. Rematch there. The unexposed horse in the race is the 8 Donegal Forever for Donegal Racing. Todd Pletcher and Irad Ortiz rides this one as well. Won his maiden very easily as a 3-year-old. His first lifetime start last June at Belmont. Parlayed that victory into a win in the slop on February 18th. Takes the step up into stakes competition in a pretty tough spot. It'll be very interesting to see if he's good enough to mix it up with really nice horses like Tumbarumba and Steel Sunshine. I'm going to give the nod to Tumbarumba. I think he's going to win this this chapter of this rivalry. But it is a great race all around. And, again, keep an eye out for Donegal Forever.
I think on paper, Tumbarumba and Steel Sunshine have run better races several times already than Donegal Forever has thus far in his career. But I think he's going to make that move to catch up to them tomorrow. And it's 6-1 on the morning line. I think that's way too big of a price, who's just hammered both times he's been at the races. I think he won last time despite not even really caring about a sloppy racetrack. Gets back on a fast track, second start off the layoff. I think he is going to be rolling from the back of the pack. And I think he will run by these others and upset the field in tomorrow's Ghost Sapper Race 7 on the card at Gulfstream Park. All right, we are going to take a break. When we come back, we are not done with the Gulfstream Park card. Several more stakes to talk about on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN.
There's thrills around every turn in Hallandale Beach at Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred racing every Wednesday through Sunday during our championship meet. It's peak season in South Florida and time for the Grade 1 Florida Derby on Saturday, March 30th. Join us in the Flamingo Room, Carousel Club, and Ten Palms Restaurant for an unforgettable afternoon of world-class racing and entertainment. For stakes schedules, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
Adopt U.S. Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Keeneland. This week, I look back at the racing career of Strike the Gold, Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 162 or XM 207, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Keeneland, only here on HRRN.
You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Delay of game is there on the far outside. He's running in third. Johnny Dollar is fourth. Hap has running room now, and he's got it to the outside. As the field comes off the turn, it is a firm success, and he's under heavy pressure to hold the lead. A firm success still holding on by a half a length. Forbidden Apple right there with him. Then Johnny Dollar running third. 1-1-1, putting in a late run toward the inside. And Hap is fifth. 100 yards to go. Forbidden Apple, a firm success. Nip and tuck down to the line. Johnny Dollar joins them. Here's the wire. Forbidden Apple. Forbidden Apple has won it narrowly.
Tom Durkin on the call. The 2001 edition of the Grade 2 Kelso won by Forbidden Apple, who was owned and bred by Arthur Appleton. And there is a stake name for Mr. Appleton tomorrow out at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview here on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Before we continue on with that big Florida Derby card, it's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Well, in case you hadn't heard already, forecast prompts Santa Anita to cancel weekend racing. With heavy rain forecast for the weekend, Santa Anita has canceled live racing on Saturday and Sunday. A makeup card will be added next Thursday, April 4th, with entries to be taken on Saturday. According to the National Weather Service, rain is expected to arrive in the area Friday evening and remain throughout the weekend. Thursday's makeup card will include both the Grade 3 Wilshire Stakes on turf, scheduled for Saturday, and the Grade 3 American Stakes on turf that was set to be run this Sunday. In addition to Thursday's card, Santa Anita plans to run extra races Friday through Sunday. All races in the condition book for this weekend will be offered back next week. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. Follow the road to the Kentucky Derby, plus have the latest racing, breeding, sales, and industry news and analysis, plus entries, results, race replay videos, and more at your fingertips with the Blood Horse Daily app for your phone, updated throughout the day or delivered daily in an email. Both are free. Blood Horse Daily has the largest reach of any industry electronic newsletter or app. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app or sign up now. They are having a whole lot of bad luck with Mother Nature during this winter meet at Santa Anita, and it's hitting them on the busiest days of the week. On Saturdays, of course, they had to postpone Big Cap Day a few weeks ago. This weekend, they are just scrapping for the moment, although the Saturday card will be run on Thursday, and we'll get some nice stakes on Thursday, and it sounds like they'll make up the other races throughout the weekend. Supposedly, as of now, the weather's supposed to be better next week, which is important because, of course, next Saturday is Santa Anita Derby Day out at the Great Race Place. All right, let's get back to the matters at hand this weekend, Bob, and we'll continue on with that monster card at Gulfstream tomorrow. Race 10 is the Grade 3 Orchid for fillies and mares, going a mile and a half on the turf. We've got a field of eight and the 2024 debut of Chad Brown's McCulloch.
McCulloch's an outstanding five-year-old mare by Frankel. Really, really talented, especially in New York where she's done her best running. She did run a great race at Keeneland back in 2002 in the QE2 Cup when she got beat by Gina Romanica. She's almost always a short price. The only poor race or subpar race that she's run, she had an excuse by way of competition. That was in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf, which tends to always be an outstanding race, but was particularly outstanding last year with the likes of Inspiral and Warm Heart running 1-2. She got beat 6 3/4 in there, has been laid off ever since, working right along at Payson Park. Notably makes her Gulfstream Park debut on Saturday, so we'll see how much she likes it down there. Another one of these Clement purchases from Arcana in France is in here. This one they paid a lot for, over 400,000 euros for La Mehana, who's a daughter of Al Wuker, who ran third in a Group 1 at Longchamp last September. behind a nice William Haggis trainee called Sea Silk Road. So that's to me, that's better form than Curtez, who's in the Pan American. They're both 2-1 in the morning line. I'm taking a long shot here. I've become a big fan of Cairo Prince over the last couple of years, and I think Creative Cairo in here, who's been training really, really well for Lindsey Schultz at Fairgrounds, going to this race. Julian Leperoux goes down to Gulfstream to ride her. Of course, Fairgrounds is closed now, so you'll see all of the top jockeys from those tracks appearing at Oaklawn mostly and Gulfstream a bit as well. But she's been in excellent form on the Fairgrounds grass. She's gone a mile and a half before. I think the distance is fine with her. But the thing I like most is she's, you know, eligible to win. She has speed figures that fit in here. She has kind of the right running style. I think it's going to be a solid pace. She was chasing good horses at the Fairgrounds, and I think, you know, 12-1 in the morning line is quite generous. I love the late Burton Jones as a breeder. I think she's sitting on a very big race. Whether she's good enough to win it is debatable, but if she does win, she'll be a big price. I take the 7 Creative Cairo in here.
All right, I'm also going to try to beat Mikulik. I respect her, but I think both the 1 La Mahana and 4 Surprisingly are the ones that I would go with in this spot. Surprisingly is the is a logical one. I just don't know if a mile and a half is her cup of tea, and that's why I'm going to put La Mahana on top, because I think she is best suited to this extended distance. She wasn't beating the best that Europe has to offer when she was running in those group races, but she was running well enough in those group races that I would think that she's going to have a big chance to beat what I think is an average grade 3 type of field that we're going to see in the Orchid tomorrow, race 10 over at Gulfstream Park. 11th race is the grade 2 Gulfstream Park Oaks. 3-year-old filly is going a mile and a 16th on the main track, which is 2 turns at Gulfstream. Field of 9 gathering in this race, Bob, and the long-awaited return of Ways and Means.
Yeah, this is a good race. I mean, Power Squeeze, who breaks from the rail for Jorge Delgado, and interestingly, Daniel Centeno, who rode her last time to a pretty easy win in the Suncoast up at Tampa on February 10th, makes a rare foray down to Gulfstream to ride her, and she's in excellent form. She'll go for 4 in a row. Now, obviously, it's her first race against graded company. I think she's definitely worth a look in there. Fiona's Magic ran a huge race in the Devona Dale on the front end. She beat Into Champagne, who's a very talented horse from the Ian Wilkes barn, who reopposes in here. The 9-horse Scalable is a talented sort. She was good enough to run pretty well in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies as a maiden last year. Finished 5th, beaten 5, then came back and won her maiden easily. Had a little bit of a troubled trip in the Forward Gal. If you like her, I mean, she's really nicely bred. She's by Spites Down out of a tap at mare. Of course, this is Pletcher, Repoli, and Jose Ortiz. You got to figure she's pretty live. Fiona's Magic. I'm sorry, the favorite. Yeah, the long-awaited return of Ways and Means, who eye-popping maiden score last year at Saratoga when she won by 12. And then, as the 1-2 favorite in the spinaway, ran a really good race. It was a race when it was pretty scary in a way. She was taken up at the 3/4 pole, clipped heels and stuff like that, kept coming under Flavian Pratt. Irad takes the mount. If she's ready, she'll be tough to beat. But I think that Into Champagne, who's by Into Mischief out of a Spitestown mare, might really enjoy going around 2 turns. Ian Wilkes has had a frustrating meet. He's 2-for-40. This is his best horse right now. Julian Leperoux's ridden her all 3 of her races. We know she's talented. She was good enough to win a stake second time out. She has good tactical speed. And I think that the dream is the Kentucky Oaks with her, and I think she'll qualify in this race. My pick is the 5-1 in the morning line Into Champagne.
All right, I like the pick. I'm not going to try to beat the favorite Ways and Means, and I'm also not going to bet Ways and Means. 8-5, I think, is fair. I think she's going to be closer to 4-5 at post time. Simply put, I think either of the races she ran as a 2-year-old filly are good enough to beat this field. I expect her to be at least as good first time out as a three-year-old filly, if not better than what she was when we last saw her last August and September. She's not really bred to be better long than short, being by practical joke out of a Warrior's Reward mare, but you got to trust in what Chad Brown is doing. If he thinks that she's a router, then I'm all for it, but I just don't like the price. I think she's going to win this race, but I'm not willing to take odds on Ways and Means. Looking forward to seeing what she does in the Gulfstream Park Oaks. 13th race on the card tomorrow at Gulfstream is the aforementioned Appleton for the older horses going a mile on the turf. We've got a big field of 11 in this race, Bob. How'd you see it play out?
Well, this is one of those rare weeks where I'm sure you had no problem picking 12 races. This is a 14-race card, and there's 10 stakes races on it, so we're only covering about half of those. And then, of course, the Dubai World Cup undercard is absolutely loaded there, starting at 8:05 a.m. with the likes of Saudi Crown running. So there's just an insane amount of great racing tomorrow, and this is a really good renewal of the Appleton. For one thing, that it looks like the pace is definitely going to be honest. Ice Chocolat, who I liked last time, really had a tough trip from the outside and in a spirited manner under Luis Saez. Ran on really nicely. It'd be Paco Lopez for the first time riding for Mark Cassie. I respect Quality G in here. Quality G is won two races in a row, takes the step back up into a stakes company in excellent form for Pletcher, Leperu, and owner Robert LaPena. My pick is actually going to be Lucky Score. I think there's enough pace in this race to set it up for the other Mark Cassie trainee. Interesting booking in here, Miguel Vasquez, who's a solid rider down there on that circuit. He picks up the mount, and as far as I can tell, he hasn't ridden for Cassie in a long time. But this horse always contests Grade 2 and Grade 1 races in Canada. Ran in the Breeders' Cup Mile, was a huge long shot, only got beat 2.25 by Master of the Seas, Maj, and Casa Creed. Obviously, that was a very classy race. Ran okay in the encountering traffic in the Hernandez December 30th at Santa Anita, and shifts back over here for his Gulfstream debut. I think that the 1 mile, two turns at Gulfstream will suit this son of Looking at Lucky, and I think he's sitting on a big one. Again, he's a classy sort, and I think this is more like it for him. I think Lucky Score at 8-1 represents good value.
Okay, I also like somebody to come from off the pace, but I think it's the other Mark Cassie trainee, Ice Chocolat, at 9-2 on the morning line. I think he's in great form right now. I think a repeat of either of his last two races gives him a chance in here. And like you said, Bob, there's a lot of speed. I count four or five that really could be forwardly placed out of the 11 entrants in the field. Ice Chocolat, one of the ones who would appreciate that honest pace. Paco Lopez, another guy who doesn't ride a ton for Mark Cassie, gets aboard this one for the first time, and I think he's going to get the right trip at odds of 9-2 in the Appleton. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to hit the big race tomorrow at Gulfstream Park, or at least try to hit it, the Grade 1 Florida Derby. This is the Am Wager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
My battle buddies and I attended the NHL Stadium Series at Yankee Stadium. We had never been there before, and two of us had never seen a hockey game. Man, we had the time of our lives. It was great therapy. Ventix, we can't thank you enough.
Every empty seat at a concert, a game, motorsports, or a play is a missed opportunity to say thanks to a veteran and service member. We can help. We can give our veterans a special event where they too can create their own cherished memories. Find out how by visiting www.vettix.org. That's www.vettix.org. Find out how you can make a difference in a veteran's life.
Ready! Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Want to get the latest HRRN content directly on your computer or mobile device? Then subscribe to our podcast using the Podbean app or Apple Podcasts. Just go to hrrn.podbean.com on your computer and click follow, or download the Podbean app and search HRRN. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts and listen to our latest episodes anytime. Don't miss a thing. Subscribe to our podcasts today. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Here comes Monarcos with an eye-catching middle move, and Monarcos has ranged up four wide, and he goes to the quarter pole, now a neck in front of Song and a Prayer, who has to re-rally. Out of the box, races in third, Dream Run, in with a good chance in fourth, City Zip backs out of it, and Monarcos off the top of the turn is the one to catch. The whip is out on Song and a Prayer, out of the box to the outside, Dream Run is now fourth, and Monarcos swept by them all at the far turn, and he's going to be the Florida Derby winner. Monarcos is three in front, out of the box, Invisible Ink, Monarcos!
Next offer on the call, 2001 Grade 1 Florida Derby, won by Monarcos with Jorge Chavez in the irons. He would go on to win that year's Kentucky Derby. This year's Florida Derby is tomorrow at Gulfstream Park. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. All right, Bob, time to talk about the Florida Derby. Headline in the racing forum says, Florida Derby, how fierceness will perform is anyone's guess. That from Mike Welsh. Worst title of any article I've ever seen. Obviously, how anyone is going to perform is anyone's guess. Even when you know, you don't know. But that is a big question mark in tomorrow's Florida Derby. It's the 14th and final race on the card, a mile and an eighth for three-year-olds, field of 11 going to post. Fierceness, two-year-old champ, did not run his best race when heavily favored in the Holy Bull. He has been off for about 2.5 months, over 2.5 months since that race. Reportedly working well. What are we going to get from Fierceness tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, the workout speaks volumes there. The 4:47.2 best of 38 Palm Beach Downs, you know, definitely seems to signal that he's very ready. And when he's good, he's very good. He won his maiden by 11 in the mud at Saratoga, beating, you know, two horses that came back and won. In sealed slop at Champagne, in the Champagne, he ran a complete clunker. And then at over 16-1 in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, he was marvelous running away from Muth, who, of course, runs in a race that we'll be talking later about called the Arkansas Derby. Beat Locked in there as well, who some people really like. You know, he emerged from the Holy Bull with an excuse. I mean, it was a nasty start. He was always playing catch-up. You know, obviously a horse of his quality, you know, coming from the Todd Pletcher barn, who knows as well as anyone how to prepare three-year-olds for the Triple Crown races. You know, you have to assume that he wasn't fully wound up for that race. And, you know, he breaks from the 10 hole. You know, it's going to be interesting. And obviously, you know, all eyes are on him. Hopefully the two-year-old champion, you know, will qualify for the Kentucky Derby. I think he might need some points, right? How many he didn't get many at all for that third, right?
No, but he did get 30, I believe, for winning the Breeders' Cup. So he's
okay.
He's
so he's
still
probably
right there
in
the mix.
Okay, so you'd have to think that he'd have to hit the board in the Florida Derby, which he should. You know, some long shots in here. I like Grandmo the First. It's just an honest horse. He's never been off the board in his career, and he ran a great race in the Tampa Bay Derby, getting beat just a neck by Domestic Product in No More Time. He reappears for Vic Barboza and Emisol Jaramillo. I think you know, he's a horse definitely to play underneath. He's 15-1 in the morning line. Le Dombro is an interesting story. Second in the Fountain of Youth behind Doorknock, trained by a 20-year-old trainer who's recently gotten his license here in the country. So that's kind of a cool story. Edwin Gonzalez takes them out on that 15-1 shot. Conquest Warrior is a highly regarded horse from Shug McGahee's barn that makes his stakes debut in this spot after back-to-back wins against Lesser. Jose Ortiz rides that, son of City of Light. But one horse that I've grown increasingly fond of during this Triple Crown season, I think really He won that fierceness race, and I think he doesn't get the respect he deserves, and a lot of that might be down to his pedigree. He's a three-year-old gelding by Awesome Slew out of a good quality road mare called the Shady Lady, and Hades ought to take the lead in here. I mean, he's ridden by Paco Lopez, he's ridden him all three times. He got away with murder on the front end in the Holy Bull, but in previously he'd done quite well. Coming from off the pace in his first lifetime start, and then dueling through 23 and 46, going seven furlongs. I just think he does not get the respect that he deserves at all, and I think that he'll be tough to mow down. If he breaks sharply and gets the lead, it'll take a very, very good horse to pass him, and that very good horse might be called Fierceness, but I think until Hades gets reeled in, I'm not going to oppose him.
Okay, I'm one of the ones who's not a big respecter of Hades. I thought the field and the Holy Bull was awful, except for Fierceness, and he not only didn't win the race, he didn't finish in the top two. Now, Domestic Product has come back and run well out of that race, of course, winning the Tampa Bay Derby. I'm not sure what kind of field that was there either. I think this race comes down to the two best horses being Fierceness and Conquest Warrior. Fierceness clearly, two of the four races he's run, not only would beat this field, but I think would crush this field. And Conquest Warrior is just the one that I think is improving the most. So those are the two I would use if I double in this race. I'm not going to pick against Fierceness, despite the outside-ish post, which is not good at Gulfstream Park going a mile and an eighth. There's not a whole lot of speed directly inside of him. I think he's going to get out and either get in front of or just really hand it to Hades all the way around, try to dispose of him going into the far turn and seeing if he can go on to win. I'm going to say that Fierceness bounces back and wins the Florida Derby. All right, you mentioned that there's a big card tomorrow at Oaklawn Park as well. We got four stakes there we're going to talk about, Bob, starting with race number 9, the Grade 3 $500,000 Oaklawn Mile for four-year-olds and up. Of course, it's a two-turn mile at Oaklawn Park. Field of 8 gathering in this race, and very slight favorite on the morning line is number 2, Dennington.
$500,000 purse, pretty mind-blowing. Chris Hartman takes a couple of shots at it here with sprinters, good sprinters, the 1 Nautical Star and the veteran Necker Island, who are stretching out to a mile. Chris, who we know is being, you know, one of the highest win percentage trainers anywhere he shows up in America, kind of stunning to me that he's only 3% in graded stakes. You know, both of these horses have talent. They've performed well against graded company throughout their careers. Nautical Star is particularly interesting as an Oklahoma bred. Dennington's a nice horse. He's 5-2 in the morning line for Kenny McPeak and Brian Hernandez Jr. He's extremely pace dependent. This horse definitely needs a lively pace. I'm not sure if he's going to get it in here. And I gave the nod to a horse who's in great form and apparently loves Oaklawn Park. And it's a Jordan Blair trainee called Midnight Rising, ridden by Manny Esquivel. Again, he won pretty easily here in the mud in one of those $140,000 non-winners of 2 lifetime allowance races that they run down there on January 6th, and he parlayed that effort into a really good run on a fast-track, mile of 16th on a fast-track on March 2nd. He's running a couple of stakes races. He needs to step up on those stakes runs. He did finish third in a Grade 3 at Woodbine on Synth. I just think he's one of these turf-bred horses, and I've seen it over the years at Oaklawn Park. A lot of horses with turfy pedigrees for some reason take to the main track down there. He's by Mendelson out of a Hold Me Back mare. I do want to mention that Jordan Blair has a horse for you to put in your notebook that he trains, who won a maiden really easily the other day in Oscar Performance Colt, who's 1-for-1 called This Is Oscar. Watch out for him. But I think Midnight Rising can step up this time in a stakes company over a track that he loves and get the job done for the Blair stable.
All right, I agree with everything you said. I picked Midnight Rising as well. I just can't get off the fact that he's in really good form right now, and he just looks like he's ready to finally step up and win that first stakes of his career. Midnight Rising for both Bob and myself in the Grade 3 Oaklawn Mile. 10th race at Oaklawn tomorrow is the $250,000 Matron. Fillies and mares going 6 furlongs. Big field of 10 gathering for the Matron, including a shipper from the West Coast for trainer Peter Miller in Daddy's Ruby.
Yeah, this is an interesting race. It's a relatively new race, an Oaklawn Stakes program. You know, we've talked about this division with the absence of Goodnight Olive and others, this Philly and Mare Sprint division being cast wide open this year. It's amazing to me that Daddy's Ruby, who in my opinion, I mean, that grade one La Brea on Malibu Day, December 26th, beat Big Pond by a nose, and then Big Pond came back and beat her. Those are two very nice cowbreds, but I mean, to me, that doesn't have the look of a real grade one race. In fact, maybe it's more like a grade three. I mean, she is 5 for 7, but you know, this is her first race out of California. To me, it's she's hard to take at a short price, and Peter Miller reaches for the blinkers. So you know, she's working up a storm at San Luis Rey, but this is an entirely different set of circumstances for her. Zeitlos has been on a roll for Asmussen. Tyler Gaffleone takes the mount back, ran a great race as the odds-on favorite in the carousel, beat a couple of horses in here that'll try her again. She's real interesting. She's bred to run a mile and a quarter, being by Curlin out of Reduced Choice Mare, and she seems like she only wants to sprint, but she's always right there. I mean, she's incredibly honest, really nice horse. The most interesting entrant to me is a horse that's always been kind of a talking horse from the Amos stable, Hoosier Filly, who has shown up and run some good races, especially when she was a two-year-old. When she blew apart the Golden Rod, she won the Rags to Riches at Churchill before that. She's hardly ever gotten back to that level. Her only try in a sprint was in her debut, and she won that easily. Who knows what she beat? She drew the 10 hole in here. This is a very tough race to handicap, I thought. And I ended up with picking Lulu, who's ridden by Juan Hernandez, who, of course, comes out to ride Muth in the Arkansas Derby, rare appearance for him. Outside of Southern California, rides this one for Nacho Correas. She has been, you know, running really well in New York. She's a New York bred daughter of Practical Joke. Ran a decent race at Oaklawn on December 16th. Finished second, beaten back to Ohio. Finished willingly late, getting, you know, sort of getting the hang of things. She's training right along at Keeneland. 3-1 in the morning line might be a little bit tight, but I think she's a candidate to win the race. I'll pick the 5, Lulu.
Yeah, it's a very difficult race to figure out. I went with the 6, Zeitlos, mainly because she's just in great form right now. Most of the races she's run look like they'd at least put her in the picture. I don't know if she's going to be able to get to Daddy's Ruby, but Daddy's Ruby is one that sometimes runs real big races and sometimes just throws out the anchor at the top of the stretch. We'll see what shows up tomorrow. She's definitely good enough to win. I'm going to try to beat her with Zeitlos for Asmussen and Gaffleone in the Matron. All right, we'll take our final break. When we come back, more Oaklawn races to talk about, including the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. This is the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
There's thrills around every turn in Allendale Beach and Gulfstream Park with live thoroughbred racing every Wednesday through Sunday during our championship meet. It's peak season in South Florida and time for the Grade 1 Florida Derby on Saturday, March 30th. Join us in the Flamingo Room, Carousel Club, and Ten Palms Restaurant for an unforgettable afternoon of world-class racing and entertainment. For stakes schedules, tickets, and more, head to GulfstreamPark.com.
James Brown and Bill Cowher welcoming you back to Dennis Melvin's house. It's time for the Midnight Snack Run.
This is one tricky obstacle course. Sticking to healthy habits in this kitchen is going to take focus and determination, but it can be done, JB.
He's already entered the snack part of the course, and he's eyeballing a jar of chocolatey candy.
That is tempting right off the start.
Uh-oh, he's reaching, Bill, but he pushes it away.
Great stiff arm.
He's approaching a plate of delicious-looking iced cookies.
Oh, Dennis, you only want one of those?
He blows right by him for the apple.
Oh, the fridge. It's make or break time, JB.
He stares down some rich-looking treats. Uh-oh, looks like he's headed for the soda. Wait, he jukes left, grabs a water bottle, and shuts the door with his elbow in record time.
Unbelievable move. I gotta see that again.
And he's out. He even turned off the light.
That's the way you execute a midnight snack run.
Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer.
Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Trainer Talk, presented by Fasig Tipton.
Please join me in welcoming Hall of Fame trainer Todd Fletcher.
Hall of Fame trainer Nick Zito on Trainer Talk. Welcome Hall of Famer Bob Baffert to the program. Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, nice enough to spend some time with us. Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott here on Trainer Talk. Dual Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie.
Trainer Talk, the biggest names in horse racing. Wednesdays, 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern. Sirius 162, XM 207, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. You're listening to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN.
Here they come into the stretch of the 69th Arkansas Derby with a Fleet Alex showing the way. Canteen has dropped back. Flair Alley is right there in third. A late charge trying to come on from the others, but a Fleet Alex has kicked it into gear. One of the most impressive Arkansas Derby wins ever. A Fleet Alex blowing the field away. He'll win this one by a good 8 lengths. Flower Alley will finish second. Andromeda's Hero third. Real Dandy fourth. The Mile and an Eighth in a minute 48 and 4/5 seconds.
Terry Wallace on the call back in 2005. The Grade 2 Arkansas Derby at the time won impressively by a Fleet Alex. This year's Arkansas Derby is tomorrow out at Oaklawn Park. Welcome back to the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview on HRRN. Bobby Newman, Bob Nastanovich. Folks, AmWager is giving away money. New customers get a $150 sign-up bonus plus an instant $10 bonus for HRRN listeners. Go to link.amwager.com/HRRN. You'll get $10 instantly for signing up. Then deposit $150, bet $150, and get a $150 lump sum bonus. It's just that easy. Once again, link.amwager.com/HRRN to sign up and get your bonuses. AmWager, built by horse players for horse players. All right, well, before we get to the Arkansas Derby, Bob, we've got the Grade 2 Fantasy Stakes to talk about. $750,000 on the line for three-year-old fillies going a mile and a 16th. We've got a full field of 12 gathering for this race, and favorites are bookended here. You've got My Main Squeeze coming off a couple of minor stakes for New York breds at Aqueduct. In fact, has won three in a row there down inside. Torpedo Anna outside, who's coming off a big second-place finish last time out in the Goldenrod.
Yeah, My Main Squeeze is, like you said, been beating up on New York bred. She's won three in a row up there pretty convincing fashion. Interesting that Mike Maker got Flavian Pratt to ride this horse. Jose Lascano's been riding her in New York. She's got a very nice pedigree, being by Audible out of a good Spitestown mare. It'll be interesting to see if she can handle open company. I can't argue with anybody that likes her. Where's My Ring is of particular interest in here because she'll be representing the form of the wonderful Kinza, who she's faced twice and gotten beaten by twice, including by 5 lengths last time on March 9th. Kinza obviously is considered perhaps the best three-year-old filly in the country right now. Obviously, she will not be running in the Kentucky Oaks. She's trained by Bob Baffert. It'll be interesting to get a gauge on her ability from Where's My Ring, her debut outside of Southern California for Val Brinkerhoff, who, of course, doesn't really run anywhere else but the West Coast. So he's kind of an exciting entrant there. Lemon Muffin merits respect. This is a horse that went into the Honeybee last time as a maiden and really blew the race apart. She won by 3.5 lengths for Dwayne Lucas, with Keith Asmussen riding her for the second time. Asmussen will ride her again on Saturday. Torpedo Anna, who you mentioned, is a very talented daughter of Fast Anna, trained by Ken McPeak. She was marvelous in her first two starts. Didn't run badly at all behind Intricate, who's been pretty good down at Fairgrounds this year, second to her in the Goldenrod. We'll see how she does in her comeback race. I just thought there was a very strange morning line here. And I'm not sure if this filly's going to win the race, but at this kind of price, if she's anywhere close to it, I have to take her. And that's the Undefeated Recharge, who's trained by Steve Asmussen, ridden by Christian Torres. She's 30-1 in the morning line. She won easily at Remington. She beat two good horses, including Ogallala, who's a nice horse. Then she won easily at Houston going a mile and 70. Then she went out to Sunland Park and won the Sunland Park Oaks by a neck. So I don't get how she's 30-1. I don't think she'll be that much, but she will be a big price in here. And to me, she's where she, you know, so far she hasn't run as fast as a handful of her foes in here. She hasn't really needed to win. She trains pretty decently, and she's regally bred. She's by Gun Runner out of Remit, who's a stakes winner. I mean, she's basically a fantastic Winshell Thoroughbred's homebred on paper. So my pick at a huge price is going to be the 7 Recharge.
Okay, I'm going to use 2 in this race. I respect the heck out of Torpedo Anna, and to be honest, she just may be better than this field. But the fact that she's drawn in the 12 hole going a mile and a 16th, I have to at least use somebody else. And the filly I'm going to pick on top is number 4, All Things Go, for Mike Pewich and Rocco Bowen. She was great sprinting in her debut, and she's bred to handle 2 turns, being by Outwork out of a Teofilo mare, especially on that dam side, probably bred to go about a mile and a half. Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners owns part of this one now. My guess is that they purchased a percentage of All Things Go after that maiden win. Speed figure-wise, I think all she needs to do is repeat that win, and she's going to have a big chance in here. If she can handle stretching out, she's going to be an interesting one at 10-1. All Things Go, I'm going to put her on top to upset the Grade 3 Fantasy tomorrow at Oaklawn Park. Featured event of the day and of the season is the $1.5 million Grade 1 Arkansas Derby. It's the 12th race at Oaklawn Park tomorrow. Field of 10, Bob, and 3 heavyweights in the field, Muth, Timberlake, and Mystic Dan.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Muth stays a mile and an eighth. I mean, he ran a great race, you know, loomed like he was going to run right down the stretch in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and fierceness just blew the doors off of him. I mean, he looked like he was absolutely primed for a massive effort. Now, he had enough in that race in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to finish second and hold off Locked, who was closing. He came back and ran a great race over 7 furlongs in the San Vicente when he beat, you know, Pilot Commander and Slider by 2 3/4. Before that, won the American Pharaoh, beat his stablemate Wind Me Up, got beat by his stablemate Prince of Monaco. I mean, look, Muth is a nice horse, but to me, he seems like a miler. Liberal Arts is a horse that's going to be, you know, a very nice price in here. A son of Arrowgate out of a Tribal Rule mare, and he ran 3rd behind Mystic Dam. But if you watch that race, it looked like an ideal prep race for the Arkansas Derby. I think, you know, with Tyler Gaffalione riding, I think he's pretty interesting horse to at least play underneath. The question mark with Mystic Dan is, you know, did he just freak on a wet track? I mean, he ran 4 decent races on fast tracks, and then he was just awesome in sealed mud in the Southwest on February 3rd. If he can progress from that effort on what will certainly be a fast track according to the weather right now at Oaklawn, he'll be tough. But my pick's going to be Timberlake. Timberlake made a really favorable impression in the Rebel. He was green and drifting out in the stretch. I think he was just kind of gawking at the crowd. He ran okay in the Breeders' Cup. I just think he's the finished article right now. I think, to me, looked all over a Kentucky Derby horse. He's got a lovely pedigree. Flavian Pratt takes over here from Christian Torres. And I think, you know, Timberlake's the real deal. He's training like it. I think the Brad Cox trainee is definitely Kentucky Derby bound and will win the Arkansas Derby.
All right, I love Timberlake. I love Mystic Dan, but I think Muth is going to beat him tomorrow in the Arkansas Derby. I don't think a mile and an eighth will be a problem for him. I like the way he's been working since his last race, and I think he's going to have a pace advantage over a few of the others in this field. I just happen to think that he ran into the best 2-year-old we've seen in a long time, or at least 2-year-old performance we've seen in a long time, when running 2nd to Fierceness in the Breeders' Cup last year. Still good enough to finish in front of Locke, who a lot of people, as you mentioned, liked a whole lot as a 3-year-old earlier this year. Muth for me in the Arkansas Derby. Featured race tomorrow at Aqueduct is the Excelsior. This is older horses going a mile and an eighth on the main track. We've got a field of 8 there, Bob. How'd you see it?
Well, one thing, first off, it looks like it's going to be nice weather in Jamaica, New York on Saturday, which is refreshing news. Obviously, when we covered the racing there yesterday, it was a nasty old day. So we can expect a fast track for this Saturday card at Aqueduct. Quite surprised to see Olympic Dream show up in here, 3-1 in the morning line. We watched his race together on March 21st, which was just a little over a week ago. And it was a spirited mile and an eighth duel. And somehow, in an incredibly gutsy performance under Trevor McCarthy, he pulled it out. I can't imagine that that didn't take a little bit out of him. David Jacobson runs a pair in here, led by the 7 Quality Chic. You have to give them a long look. It really is a pretty nice field for this $150,000 race. But I'm going to give the nod to Curbstone, who's 12-1 in the morning line. He's 4-for-5 at Aqueduct with a second. It's just one of these cases where this is his distance and this is his track. He's 3-for-6 going a mile and an eighth. Looks like there'll be plenty of pace in there. He's actually been versatile throughout his career. In recent races, he's shown more from coming off the pace. Eric Cancel rides him for Tom Morley. I think this son of Street Sense out of an Archmare is sitting on a big one in his stakes debut. This Patricia Mosley homebred, a Curbstone, will be my selection in the Excelsior.
All right, I'm going to go with the former Bob Baffert trainee, Messier, who at one point a lot of people, including myself, thought was the best three-year-old heading toward the Kentucky Derby. Did not work out for him. He's now in the Richard Dutrow barn. Good second-place finish to the Wind Machine Yodelier, who last time out at Laurel, 9-2 on the morning line. I think he's got a big chance in tomorrow's Excelsior at Aqueduct. That's 12 races, Bob. Time now for the Am Wager Best Bets.
The Am Wager Best Bet.
All right, my friend, lots to choose from. Where are you going?
Yeah, my best bet of the week, my Am Wager Best Bet of the week is Timberlake. I just thought Timberlake, in that post-parade for the Rebel, looked like the real deal and ran a massive race. To me, was kind of goofing off in the stretch after he had sealed up the Rebel from Common Defense and Northern Flame, who are granted inferior horses to what he'll face in the Arkansas Derby. But he's a grade one place two-year-old and a grade one winner in the Champaign, a race he won easily. I think he has a lot of class, and I think he's grown really well, filled out nicely. And I think he's just a very live both Arkansas Derby and Kentucky Derby contender for Windstar, Sienna Farm, Brad Cox. And it'll be interesting to see who Flavian Pratt rides in the Kentucky Derby. But if he wins underneath, if Timberlake wins this race, I think that that might be his mount in the Derby. I think Timberlake's going to win the Arkansas Derby.
All right, I'm going to go to the Gulfstream Park Card Race 13, the Appleton Stakes. A horse that I know you've liked in the past and I like a whole lot tomorrow is number 3, Ice Chocolat. I just think he's going to get an absolutely perfect trip in behind an abundance of speed. He's in his best form of his life right now. He loves it at Gulfstream Park. He's 9-2 on the morning line. Please give me 9-2 on Ice Chocolat, who will be rolling from just off the pace and going on to win the Appleton Race 13 tomorrow out at Gulfstream Park. Want to remind everybody, speaking of tomorrow, huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning. Our good friend Mike Penna talks with Hall of Fame trainer Shug McGahee, and he looks ahead to the Florida Derby. Flavian Pratt talks about his Arkansas Derby contender Timberlake and looks back on his wins in both the Louisiana Derby and Fairgrounds Oaks. Dr. Stuart Brown shares an update on the safety initiatives taking place at Keeneland this meet. Plus, we preview the Dubai World Cup. Vance Hansen provides this week's triple play. I'll be there tomorrow morning with Calling All Three-Year-Olds, presented by Spendthrift. Kurt Becker takes on his weekly stroll through racing history. Dale Romans and Tim Wilkin tackle the sport's hottest topics on I Ask, They Answer, presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program. Huge edition of the Equine Forum tomorrow morning here on HRRN, 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time, Sirius 162, XM 207, online channel 999, or on the website at horseracingradio.net. We would be remiss if we did not mention that the Florida Derby and the Arkansas Derby are not the only 2 points qualifiers tomorrow on the road to this year's Kentucky Derby. Of course, the UAE Derby takes place tomorrow morning. It goes, I think, at about 9:50 a.m. Eastern Time here in the States, and the undefeated Japanese-based Forever Young is expected to be the solid favorite in the race. 13 were entered. I think 2 have already scratched out of this race. Forever Young needs a first or second place finish to get enough points to earn himself a spot in this year's Kentucky Derby. That's going to wrap it up tonight on the AmWager Weekend Stakes Preview. For our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Bob Nastanovich, I'm Bobby Newman. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Have a great weekend at the track, everybody.